Grace and mercy and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and mercy and peace, especially for the family who have known her the longest and loved her the best, but also to the rest of you who in one way or another shared the path, crossed trails, and in one way or another were touched by her life, by her love, by her presence. We hear what the Lord says through John in the 20th chapter after Jesus was raised from the dead. Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. I got started, like so many things in life, chasing rabbits down holes with the verse that Jennifer first sent me that you heard in today's reading from Revelation. "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Now, we like to use euphemisms at the time of death, and passed away is also one of those terms that we use, but this is a reminder that in Christ, death itself, sorrow itself, tears and sadness themselves have passed away. They are dead in Christ, dead and buried, just as our own sinful natures. If we are buried in Christ, named by him, called by him, lived and guided by him through his Holy Spirit, through his word, then even though we may cry bucketfuls during life, we know that in the end, it's all worth it because we will celebrate without end. Isaiah pretty much gave these words to John. We heard about the party that he was going to have on the last day. Good food, good drink, and no more tears. Then, of course, what we had from the Revelation and then from the Gospel where everybody's crying. I imagine that there were times in her own life that that may have cried for you or over you, depending on the circumstances and the situation, and probably at other times for herself. Parents cry for their children because we can't carry their hurts for them, and we can't fix some of the things that they break. Parents cry over their children because every single one of us in one way or another can disappoint mom and dad. And I'll leave it to each of you how any one of you has disappointed your parents at any time. Of course, it's not just your parents. You've disappointed everybody. We can all be big disappointments, and somebody could be crying over all of us, which is one of the things that Jesus is doing when he is getting ready to call Lazarus from the tomb, because he is crying over not just the sadness of Martha, who has already been crying earlier in this section, and Mary, who's crying, and their friends who have come out to see them who are crying, and then he cries, and they look at it as a sign of his love, which it certainly is, but it is also a sign that when Jesus says those words just a little bit farther down the line, "Lazarus, come out," he's also telling his enemies that he is too big to be ignored. He's crying at least in part because he knows that this is going to seal his death sentence. And you see it right after this. The plot intensifies. We got to get rid of him. And they also say, we got to get rid of Lazarus too. The guy who Jesus just made alive, they want to kill because they want to stop this wonderful good news that this guy can reverse tears, reverse sorrow, reverse sadness, reverse death. And they don't want that. They want to have it their own way, their own situation, their own circumstances. And when Jesus died on the cross, if you think there was weeping at the time that Lazarus died, you can only imagine with the closeness of some of his disciples to him. And the women who had been following him, and especially Mary Magdalene, who Jesus had especially befriended, casting demons from her. And she and the others who go to the tomb go to honor him, to bring more burial spices, to give him even more than he had already gotten from Joseph and Nicodemus when he was first laid in the tomb, because that was their love for him. And she's gotten there, and there's a big hole in the side of the hill, and there ain't no Jesus there. And if she was sad before, she's now completely shattered, because not only is Jesus dead, he's gone. And she is not only blinded by her tears, but she's blinded because the Lord has not sparked that last bit of faith in her yet. She's been with Jesus for years. How many times has she heard him say grace, tell a story from the Bible, talk to other people, preach an extended sermon, say something to bring healing to somebody else? But yet when he's talking to her, woman, why are you weeping? She doesn't know him, because the Lord is still hidden from her. But just as I said before we began, when the Lord calls us by name in baptism, so when the Lord calls Mary by name here, it's something different. God knows your name in a way that you almost know and that nobody else knows. The intimacy, the closeness of it. That special name that you have, even if it's the same name that you share with thousands of other people, living and dead. I mean, this is hardly the only Patricia, the only Pat, who ever walked the face of God's green earth. But this is the Patricia who will know when the Lord calls her by her name, who will live with the Lord in joy and peace forever and ever. And this is the Lord who comes to you and promise you that every single tear will be wiped up. And that is great. Because we get blinded by our own tears. We can be so sad and sorrowful, either feeling for ourselves or hurting because of somebody else, that we can't see clearly everything else that's going on around us. We can hurt so badly that we sometimes forget that other people need our help and our healing. They need our comfort, our presence, and our peace. Even when we're down, we can usually find somebody who's farther down. And no matter how things are right now, we can either anticipate or know certainly that there's something worse that's coming down the line. And in these times, everybody's dreading something else that's coming down the line. But God doesn't stop by saying that he will blot every single tear just to go get a new handkerchief or a new box of Kleenexes and come back by and blot the next set of tears that you cry. Wipe the next cheeks down. Cheer you up for a time until the next time. Because when God finally wipes away every single tear, he also takes away every reason for crying. Sickness, suffering, pain and sorrow. Death of a loved one. Death anticipated in our own bodies. Betrayals. Name calling. And even that. Each one of us have our own place in our parents' pecking order, and sometimes we feel more or less loved by mom or by dad than one of the others, but even if our parents sometimes show that, they do truly love all of us the same way. And so also God loves every one of you the same way. He just doesn't show it to each one of you in the same way. If he had loved me as much as some of you, he would have left me with a nice head of hair and maybe no glasses or no failing hearing. And those at one time or another, our eyes, our ears, something else falling apart, breaking down, our own bodies finally failing us, infection and disease from the outside, or betrayal by our own cells, it's going to happen unless the world ends first. But even the tears that we will cry anticipating our own deaths, mourning the deaths of others, will end. Not forever in a cold and silent grave, but rather forever in a beautiful, bright celebration of life. Life with one another, life with God, life without end, Life without hurt, without envy, without worrying about pecking orders about who mom or dad really love best, because we know that our Father loves all of us the best, because our Father loves each one of us as He loved His only begotten Son, Jesus. And when He blots away every tear from your eyes and replaces it with joy everlasting, when you wake up, and we don't know exactly what it's going to be like, but if we have any memory of the past when we are brought into that eternal present, and think, well, my neck isn't stiff, my knees don't creak, I don't need these glasses that they threw in the box with me anymore. Whatever it is, those are tiny little signs of the great and wonderful and complete healing that we have in Him. How many times did Mom wipe each one of your eyes, put a kiss on a boo-boo or maybe a band-aid on top of it? Those are what we see from God right now. The kisses and the band-aids. The stopgap measures, because we will keep failing, we will keep falling, we will keep breaking down. But He will keep getting us up until finally He lays us to rest with the promise that He will get us up one more time. And when He says, rise and shine on that last day, we will truly shine like the stars themselves. No stain of sin clinging to us. No stench of death surrounding us. But rather, a beautiful, perfumed offering to our God who has loved us and saved us. And every single tear will be gone and forgotten. But we will never be forgotten. We will be loved. God will, Lord willing, hold your memories of her in your hearts and minds until you die, until people are gathered to cry over you. But even if He takes your memory from you, even if you forget your family names, your friend names, your parents' names, even your own name, He remembers. And as Mary heard the Lord call her name there at the tomb, you also can hear Him call you from your tomb. And you can rejoice with Mary as you realize He's not dead. I'm not dead. I am alive with Him now and forevermore. So go ahead and cry if you need to. Laugh if you want to. Swap the stories of how she paid you to scratch her head. Or remember each one of you individually. The special thing that she said just to you. That special love that she showed to you. And remember that God's special love for you is even closer and dearer. Every single tear. Gone and forgotten. And if there are any tears at all in paradise, they will be the tears of joy that we have. At a family reunion. At a wonderful, beautiful, perfect, absolutely fantastic day. A day without darkness and without death. A day that goes on forever. Because a day with God in paradise is a day that never ends. I pray that you live in that day already now. Even though you know that you will, unless the Lord comes, yourselves break down and die. You will be lifted up, and you will be restored, and you will be made better than ever. You will be made as Christ is now, and as He is anxiously awaiting to see you. Because when He said, "It is finished," on the cross, it stopped His crying. And when He baptized you, it brought you into a faith to take away your sorrow and your tears. And you will experience that joy forever and ever. You don't have to take my word for it. Take God's. That's why I picked all these verses about tears. Because time after time after time, He tells you, these tears will fall, but they will end. Not because you've completely dried out, but rather because there's no reason to do it anymore. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace that surpasses understanding keep you in Christ Jesus. Amen.